even in the city of Chicago, if it's still standing, all right? If it's still standing, it's going to have a murder rate of zero. And you know why? It's not because there's a Democrat in office. It's not because there's a Republican in office. It's because Jesus is king. Are you following me? The form of government will not be a democracy. It will not be a republic. It will be a theocracy. And Jesus Christ shall be King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Jay Tyler from Holt Assembly of God, and I want to welcome you to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. The message you're about to hear today is part of a series that's entitled You Asked For It. I asked the church family at Holt Assembly of God to pick four topics they'd like to hear me preach and share from the Word of God. The first topic they selected were the events of the end time. In Revelation 22:17, Jesus said, "Behold, I am coming quickly." Are you ready should the Lord make his return today? Would your family members be ready should the Lord make his return today? I pray that you are blessed and encouraged as you hear the Word of God shared in this message. Today's message is part 8 of the timeline.
Why has so much war? Why has so much blood been shed over that one piece of ground? You know why? Satan wants to rule and he wants to reign from that place, because he understands very clearly that's where Jesus is coming. That's where he's setting up his kingdom. That's where he'll rule and reign from. That's his desire. He wants to be like the Most High. Jerusalem will be the worldwide capital during the millennial kingdom. And those who have returned with Jesus in his second coming will be citizens of that kingdom. I said this last week. If you don't make it to Jerusalem in this life, you'll be there for 1,000 years, whether you like it or not. So what happens on earth during the millennium? What happens on earth during the millennium? Well, the Bible tells us what happens during that 1,000-year period. There's some interesting things that happen. Isaiah 2 says this in verse 2. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Verse 3, many people shall come and say, "Come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." Remember, we are coming as rulers and as priests. You're going to have a job in the millennial kingdom. Hey, listen, some of you may be preachers. Boy, then you get to see what I go through. But it is true. You'll be rulers, and you will be priests in God's kingdom. It goes on to say this, "And he shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war no more." How many of you are looking forward to that period? A period of time, a time of peace, true prosperity, true blessing, with righteousness, not evil, prevailing. With righteousness prevailing. Isaiah says the desert places will once again become fruitful. Zechariah says that living water will flow out of Jerusalem. Isaiah 11:6, it's going to be up there for you. "The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And a little child shall lead them." So in the presence of violence and corruption, it's gone from the earth. The presence of violence and corruption is gone from the earth. Why? Because Satan, his demons, they're imprisoned for 1,000 years. Even in the city of Chicago, if it's still standing, all right? If it's still standing, it's going to have a murder rate of zero. And you know why? It's not because there's a Democrat in office. It's not because there's a Republican in office. It's because Jesus is king. Are you following me? The form of government will not be a democracy. It will not be a republic. It will be a theocracy. And Jesus Christ shall be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'm more excited about that than you are. This ain't fantasy land. This is going to happen. This will happen. We'll be a part of this one day. So what happens next on the timeline? What happens following the millennial? There's a lot of other things that take place, but I think you kind of get the idea that the natural order of things are restored, so to speak. Or what concludes the millennium is probably the most perplexing thing that happens, in my opinion, on the timeline of end time events. And it's this. Satan is released. Why on earth is that devil released? We got 1,000 years of good stuff going on. Why on earth, God, why on earth do you have to release that nasty old devil? Why does this 1,000-year period have to conclude being disrupted by Satan's release? Let's look at Revelation 20, verse 7 and 8. Now when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations, which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, together to gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. Satan leaves the pit, gathers an army consisting of people, the Bible says, from Gog and Magog. Now, there's some debate as to who Gog and Magog is. There are some people, are they actual nations? Are they actual people groups? There's all kinds of theories. There's all kinds of ideas. Some believe they are people who will descend from the north, Russians, perhaps an allegiance with Iran. I don't know. Maybe so. I just know this, that when they gather an army, they're going to be defeated. I don't care where they're from. They're going to be defeated. So I don't know if these are actual nations or not, but I really don't care. I'm not going to, this is what some people do. They spend all their time trying to figure this out. Why is that? You know the end of the book. You know the story. And that's not even the point. The point of the story, and I go back to it, is our understanding of the timeline is this, how it impacts our worship and how it impacts our mission. God's given us a mission. Each and every one of you have a plan and purpose God has for you, and it goes beyond you, and it goes beyond our family. It goes to our community, and our understanding of that timeline will dictate how we accomplish God's mission. Listen, there are so many people, they're trying to figure out who Gog and Magog is, and people are going to hell all around them. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's like, get your head out of the clouds, friend. Listen, stop telling them about Gog and Magog. Tell them about Jesus. Amen? Some people believe in their actual nations. Perhaps they are. You can look at their ancient names, their ancestral names. They do seem to be people from Russia. I don't know. But again, with this in mind, let me ask you this question. If Satan is locked away for 1,000 years, after the tribulation, correct? There's the tribulation, the second coming of Jesus. Jesus comes at the Battle of Armageddon, takes the false prophet, the Antichrist, throws him in the lake. He takes Satan, the dragon, puts him in the dungeon, puts him in the pit. He's there for 1,000 years. That all occurs. Now think about during that 1,000-year period, what's going on? Natural order, things are restored. Have you ever thought about this? Who's on the earth during this time? You ever thought about that? Who dwells? Well, you say, well, we're dwelling on the earth, correct? We are. But are there other people? See, this is where sometimes we get kind of confused. Because if Satan is locked away for 1,000 years, after the tribulation, who is left on earth to rebel against God? That's a good question to ask. I'm not trying to figure out Gog and Magog. I'm trying to, who's rebelling against God during this period? And it should cause you to ask some questions. Who rebels against God after the millennium, after the 1,000 years? My question is, who on earth would want to? But obviously someone does, and there are a lot of people. Can we who are born again, here's a good question, can we who are born again with glorified bodies be deceived and align ourselves with Satan after he's released from prison? First of all, many people make this false assumption that everyone on planet Earth during the millennium is saved. They're not. Not everybody on the planet Earth during the millennium is saved. Now, I didn't say that when we come back, we're not saved. I'm saying there's other people that are on planet Earth. See, we assume everyone's destroyed. The Bible doesn't say everyone is destroyed, by the way. There is coming a day where there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, but it's not here. When we get the timeline all messed up, it messes with things. We don't have a good understanding of things. These people are people who will rebel against God one last time. Who are they? Most Bible experts believe this. There are people who were born during the millennium who have not chosen to serve Jesus Christ as Lord. We assume everyone's going to come to Jesus during that time. They're not. We obviously know that because someone rebels. Someone decides not to serve Jesus during that time. Secondly, others believe they are descendants of people who lived in remote places of the earth that was not destroyed during the tribulation and have not accepted Jesus as Messiah. I'll just say this. I believe it's both of those. It's not one or the other. I think it's both. And I just want to stress this point. Looking forward, If you are born again and have experienced a glorified body at the first resurrection, let's say today the rapture happens, but my mom is going to come out of the grave, and she's going to meet the Lord in the air. We're going to meet her with them, right, together. Then we're going to be changed, correct? We're going to have a glorified body. Now, during the rapture, your body's going to change. You're going to receive a glorified body because you're going to go to heaven, correct? And then you're going to come back to the earth. This thing ain't going to make it. So this is going to change. We're changed. We're glorified, correct? At that point, we go to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Those who are resurrected, those of us who have been changed through the rapture, we're in heaven with Jesus for 7 years during the tribulation. We come back with him. We rule and reign for 1,000 years with him. So with all that in mind, think about that. Following that period, we will return with Jesus on the earth, who wins a battle. It'll be a decisive battle. Can we then forfeit our salvation after we've been glorified? The answer is no. So if there's someone who rebels on the earth, it's obviously not us. Now, I'm going to say this, because this is where I think sometimes people get kind of confused, especially in cults, because they claim we're gods. We're not gods, amen? We're created beings, but we will be changed, and I believe we're changed back to our original state that God intended. The first resurrection is what we are a part of. Are you following me? The second resurrection is the resurrection you do not want to be a part of. So Satan's release may affect those who have not experienced the first resurrection during the tribulation, the millennial kingdom, okay? Look at Micah 4:2. Many nations shall come and say, come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall the law go forth, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. People living on earth will have an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as Savior, and we get to be a part of that. We get to be a part of that. Even, listen to me, think about that. You'll be a soul winner here, or you're going to be a soul winner there, one way or the other. But I'd rather be both, amen? Because the nations are going to flow into Jerusalem, and we have an opportunity then, as we understand the Word of God, that we get to be an opportunity to be priests in God's kingdom. People who live during the millennial kingdom, who are not yet glorified, they are not like us. Today, before, they're not like us, they're like we are today. They're not going to be like we are in the future. Are you following me? So people living during the millennial kingdom who have not been resurrected, who have not been changed, will be like we are. They have to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior as well during that period. Even though he's reigning, isn't it, now think about that, isn't it crazy to think that here's Jesus, he's come back, he set up his kingdom, he's physically in Jerusalem, he's there, and people are still going to rebel. Doesn't that show you how deceptive, how fallen flesh is? It just shows the grip of sin, doesn't it? It just shows the power of sin. The flesh is not going to change during that period of fallen flesh. Do you understand what I'm saying? And they're going to have Jesus reigning and ruling from Jerusalem, and people are still going to rebel. Fathom that for just a moment. That should tell you, and listen, that should cause our hearts to break for people who are lost in sin. See, we get this view. People are wicked, they're nasty, they're vile. Yeah, and they're captive to sin. They're captive to sin. And I understand there's evil, and I understand that there are people just nasty, but remember the devastating effects of sin.
I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. I hope this message was a blessing and encouraging to you. The events of the end times should not cause us to be anxious as believers. Instead, the imminency of these great events should encourage us to ready ourselves and to ready others for the glorious return of our Savior. If you're in our area and you're looking for a church home, I want to encourage you to come and worship with us Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. We have children's ministries available. Or you can join us on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for our family night. We have ministry opportunities for all ages, children, youth, and adults. Holt Assembly of God is located at 540 3rd Avenue in Holt, Florida. If you'd like to find out more information about our church, you can find us on the web at www.holtag.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Instagram. Our phone number is 850-537-8351. Again, I want to thank you for listening to this broadcast, and I pray that you are blessed and encouraged as you serve the Lord Jesus with a grateful heart.